G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie Australia. Ready for another NBA episode? Well, I hope you are, because it's about to drop. We're into the conference semifinals, round two. But conference semifinal sounds way better. So we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive, talk about how we got to here, and then make some predictions. Of course, do a little bit of local card shop of Woolloongabba and Mermaid Beach. Crack 'em to round out the show. But I need someone to do that with, and who better? Who better than one of the magnificent trio, one of the solid parts of the magnificent trio that was on the Capitals Phoenix broadcast over the weekend. Macca, how you doing, buddy?
What a treat to be wedged between you and Chris Crawford. That was an excellent Saturday night. Games were spectacular and, yeah, had a blast.
Yeah, it was good times. Good times. And, hey, you don't need to, you know, sugarcoat it too much. It's, it's always delightful hanging out with me. We know. It's all good. And Chris, well, he was there. Okay. it was genuinely good fun. Good bit of, a couple of bits of bants thrown in. And obviously we'll get to it in the next pod, but the NBL pod. But what a game. The second one, that finish, it got real tight. And then it won him song.
Yeah,
Song just stepped into the limelight and said, no, this is going to be a Capitals game.
And that was it. And he put the boys on his back and said, boys, get behind me. I'm gonna lead us to the promised land on this one. Mm-hmm. So he had a hell of a game. That was a great game and great way for the Caps to get the first win of the season. I'm sure that'll give them some confidence moving forward.
Oh, definitely. Can't not, especially a victory like that, that's for sure. All right, well, let's get into some NBA stuff here, mate. So, look, we've got episode 122, which is this one here. So, episode one plus Jimmy Butler. Let's go out east. Miami, obviously able to get it done over the Bucks. It wasn't a failure. Like Gianna said, which I genuinely liked that because how can it be from a professional player's standpoint? Someone like him, not every other season can be a failure. Like, it's so hard to get to win a chip, and it makes perfect sense to me. I get it.
Yeah, I think he can get away in saying that in Milwaukee, but like, you can't get away with saying that if you play for Philadelphia. I think the fans would let you. I think the fans would let you walk out of the stadium if you said that. But
also, he does have a championship. He has also won a championship.
Yeah, so. He's got that championship credential as well. Yes. But I 100% agree with the sentiment. Like, it's a professional league. Every team is good. It's not like these are, some teams are, you could just walk up with your second string and you're going to win. No, you have to play well every night to beat every team in the league. So to say that, you were the number one team in the East and you get done by the number eight seed, but is that a surprise? No, Miami's a good team. They've got Jimmy Butler, who just absolutely had a wow of a series. And, you missed Giannis on one game. You had Middleton, who had just an up and down season, mainly just missing time with injury. The one thing that I'm disappointed about is Brook Lopez had kind of a renaissance year, and I hope he's one of those guys that it's very he's I want to say old, but he's a veteran. When you have a renaissance year like this, generally the next one you notice a decline again. Like, you don't normally have a really wow of a year. And he'll probably be on the all-defensive second or even first team. But would he be able to do the same thing against next year? wouldn't be confident to say yes. There'll probably be a bit of drop in that sort of production, but it was still, yeah, still a great season for Milwaukee. Just unlucky. I don't think they need to retool at all. I think they probably just need to have good off season. I did hear whispers that they might want to look at retooling the coach. But I think Coach Bud's a good coach as well. So I could see them just running it back, having a good off season, and, you know, fingers crossed with no injuries, they could probably come back next year and win it. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. So yeah, I agree with him. It's not a failure.
No, not when you've already got a chip in the bag. If you don't have a chip, then, you know, it's a very different sort of speech. But, you know, you've got to get away from this idea that, you know, a championship or nothing for, you know, and that's all there is. Like, you can have, if your team's having amazing year-to-year growth and building, that you can still walk away with a huge positive and just be, you know, really chuffed about where your team is going and everything like that. And then you have other teams like, for example, just one off the top of my head, Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, it seems to be disappointing, and then they'll do something big to retool, and then, you know, it doesn't work out. And then, you know, you get people who foresee that, and yeah, it just doesn't work out, and it's got to be uncomfortable for the fan base, because then you're like, all right, well, right, how big is the explosion going to be when we blow this thing? Like,
yeah,
how big does that to me is, you know, that's when it feels more like a failure, because as a fan, you've got to reevaluate, you know, am I here for this? Like, am I here for the next 3 years of, like, you know, with Milwaukee, no fans are walking away from that. Like,
no, they probably want to, if I was a Milwaukee fan, I'd want to hear what they're going to do next year. You don't do that after you've lost the series, obviously, but I'm just talking, you know, start of next year. I want to hear what they've done different, and what's going to change the outcome. You know, that's the type of stuff I look forward to. And when you have a season that's lost, and trust me, I go for the 76ers. I'm well aware of what it's like for early exits and disappointing exits. So you always look forward.
Don't trust the system.
Exactly. And running it back doesn't always work. But, you know, you always look forward to the start of the next season where they say, hey, look, this is look who we've brought in, just to, you know, just to smooth out some edges. We brought in PJ Tucker, or, you know, we've brought in, you know, just this, you know, a guy we think that's going to be a power punch of scoring off the bench, which is probably something Milwaukee should look at. But, you know, that's the type of stuff when you're a fan, your season's done, you now just get to be a cheerleader for whatever bandwagon you want to hitch to. But you look forward to the start of that next season. It's like, oh, look, you know, we're all healthy. Chris Middleton's knee's good, or whatever was ailing him. You know, Giannis is 100%. There was no Olympics this year. No one's banged up over the off season, and you go, yeah, let's go. So, yeah, that's what they're, if you're Milwaukee, that's what you got to look forward to. As a draft, I can't see them having any decent picks, but you never know. There can be trades and stuff that keep you interested in that off season. So, yeah, it's just what it is. Sometimes you just get used to going deep, though. So that just happens, and yeah. Now you just
Warriors fans.
Yeah, well, they had that one year where you know, KD left, and then you had Clay with the Achilles or his ACL.
Draymond
was out for half of the season, and then they didn't make the finals, did they?
Was it Steph had that unbelievable run, then got injured? And then
yeah,
shut him down.
Yeah, so you know, and so yeah, it'd be usually see what happens. But yeah, oh man, Miami, what an effort though! Like they lost Oladipo, they lost Tyler Hero, and then yeah, Jimmy's playing a little bit banged up because he's playing so many minutes. But what an effort! To win 4-1, it wasn't even like a 7-game series. They They really, really, absolutely won it convincingly.
Yeah, well, Jimmy, of course, late forcing that. Forcing OT and all sorts, and you're really making sure it was done. And then, yeah, really, really solid by Miami. And speaking of Miami, obviously they've gone through against New York, who were able to get it done over the Cavs. You know, again, that was no great shock. They got out to that 3-1, and everyone knew it was going to be wrapped up fairly quickly, and it was. And but look, in this next one, I'm really liking Miami, even though they're under strength. They've got some issues, question marks over Jimmy for game two and moving forward. I'm still feeling the Miami buzz. How are you feeling?
I'm going the other way. I like New York. They lost that first game, but yeah, the ankle injury that Jimmy picked up in that first game, the guys have already got out. They got in that first game, they also got a big game from Kyle Lowry. That's not going to happen on the reg. The only major advantage I see Miami still has is with Bam Adebayo. There's not a great deal that New York can do or match up well with him. Robinson starts at center, but he's very, especially in finals basketball, his pick and roll stuff isn't that. It's good, but it's not up to what maybe some of the other teams can do in the finals. And he has a bit of trouble, you know, marking up and getting out to the shooters. But also with a little bit of the injury of Randall, is it Randall? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think he played in the first game either. So some doubts on the New York injury wise, but I don't know. I feel like the Miami might have peaked on the last one. And if I'm New York now, I'm licking my lips going, if there's a series we're going to is in a row, which we haven't done for so many years, this has to be it. Like, you really have to, you know, get the GM down there and go, boys, we need this. Like, get Spike Lee in there. He go, I'll make a movie for you. It's like, let's... We can, you know, if you guys can get the series win here and we go to a conference final, I don't care after that. Like, but so, I'm back in New York. I reckon they lost the first one, but they'll bounce back and I reckon they'll get the series.
All right. You want to put a number on it? I'll take Miami in six. What do you got?
I'll go New York in seven.
New York in seven. All right. Well, look, definitely has the potential to be a spicy, spicy matchup. Speaking of spicy matchups, let's get to the East. Let's finish off this side of the East, and then we'll get to the West. But Celtics, but my Boston Celtics took on your 76ers at TD Garden, and unfortunately, it's like I said last week. 76ers are a high-powered offensive unit who can string it together and get it done. And first game, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, you can't wipe the smile off my face. My Philly cheesesteaks, they did it without Embiid.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, without Embiid.
Yeah. But look, you know, there's been stretches, obviously, over this year Embiid played most of the season. It's actually one of his probably played the most regular season games out of any season. But Philly are used to playing without him in stretches. And when he's not on the floor, because he gets so many touches, it does open it up that other guys are going to get more shots. Whether they knock him down or not is going to be the difference between winning and losing. And the game today, they just knocked him down. You got 18 from Tobias Harris. You got the 40-odd piece from James Harden. And look, I don't think James Harden, the 76ers can rely on that. I don't think he gives that to you like he did in Houston every game. But if he can pick that up once or twice in the series and then Embiid can come back and be dominant like he has, in the regular season, although it's a knee injury, so you never quite know how limiting it'll be. And if you want to avoid any injury, it's a knee injury, because they're just, for big guys, they're just so hard to play with. That you can't really do a lot with them for load management. If it swells up, it's going to swell up, and it's not like a pain relief thing when you get a knee injury. You can't just, you know, needle it up and then just get out there and play on it. It literally just doesn't work. If your knee's swollen and it doesn't want to go, it just won't go. So it just kind of depends how bad that knee injury is. But he can come back. Philadelphia might be able to squeak through. Never know. My fingers are crossed. I'm still not confident. I'm a little bit more confident. We won the first game, but I'm still nowhere near confident, because I know how good Boston is. And they even look good in spurts today. And the parts of the game that I saw, I watched the condensed version. They got good production off Brogdon off the bench. Their stars played well. They probably had a few turnovers that they wish they could get back just in the fourth, but really that was it between, you know, being there wasn't much between the Celtics winning and Philadelphia stealing one.
Well, only 4 points, only 4 points, not 40, which, you know, is a victory in some senses. But like I said to you off air, doesn't matter in playoffs. It doesn't matter if it's 4 or 40. It's literally gets that little one stroke beside the 76ers name. And we don't have a series until someone wins on the road. And yeah, we've got a series right from the jump. So, but Celtics are traditionally quite good in these sort of situations at coming back. Taking the hit and then going, okay, we're in a fight. Let's do this. They are deep enough to get it done. Can 76ers come back and just get it done at a high clip like they did today? God, I hope not.
And look, the Celtics are good at looking at what happened and then adjusting. And we saw that in their finals run last year. Philadelphia is not. And the thing is, Celtics come back in game two. They've adjusted the defense. They look at, you know, maybe changing what strategies and doubling, you know, they thought they should have probably started double Harden a bit more, but they didn't look like they did it that much in the condensed game. But if they make some changes, old Doc Rivers ain't good at
making changes on the fly. Long-term listeners will be shocked by that information.
Yeah.
I've never shared that on the show before.
So it'll be interesting, because he generally just sticks with the same pro rata. We're going to keep doing it whether we win or lose. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
2010 finals game 7. Yes. But look, you know, all credit to the 76ers. They came out, you know, they slapped the Celtics first game. It's 1-0 to them. And like, my only real solace in this is we were talking off air yesterday and you swerved on a chicken bet. And now it's like, ooh, okay, all right. Look, if my team goes down in a, you know, 76ers blaze of glory situation, well, at least I've got that. Like, at least I've got something. I don't have to pay up on a 12 piece. So
yeah, that's true. Very, very true, mate. I was just, I'm in the hole with too many. I'm not picking well. So,
too many chicken bets, mate. Too many chicken bets. Out. We'll square your debts. You know, gamble responsibly, as we always say.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't bet with your tummy. Bet with your head. All right.
Exactly.
So I gave a prediction last week of Celtics in 6. I'll stick with that. What's your prediction?
If Philly gets it done, it's a 7-game series. So, Philly in 7.
What is it with you Philly guys just wanting 7 games? Very little faith. If it's going to happen, it'll be a 7.
Well, see, the thing is with Philly is, like, they could be up 3 games to zip and just start throwing them because, they feel like it's in the bag. Like that's my feel for how they play. And I know they're going out to do that, but I've watched them over the final series so often, and you feel like they're up, they're dominant, and they're going to close this out, and something triggers them to just go foot off the accelerator, chuck on the handbrake. Let's see how close these guys can get to us. And then we'll win. And sometimes it works, and a lot of the times it hasn't. So you always think once that first round, which I think they had a good matchup against Brooklyn and did it fairly easily, although Brooklyn did play better than I expected. And they were a surprise packet all year, though. But, from now on, if Philly's getting these series, even the conference final, book them in for a seven gamer. Like they're not sweeping anyone. They just don't play. They don't do that. They shut off.
Fair enough. All right, let's go west. Nuggies, Suns. Let's start there, and we'll finish with Lakers Warriors matchup. All righty, Nuggets, Suns. Nuggets obviously got there fairly easily, and Suns were able to get it done again, still fairly easily over Westbrook and his Clippers, who. That man did everything he could to try and help that team. Just ran out of horses to run with him. And that's that, basically. He gave it his all. There was so little noise around it. It was actually almost a respectful thing, which is nice to see for old Russ. But Nuggets and Suns, first game. Oh, boy. The Joker and this Jamal Murray fella, it's as if they've been playing together for years, because they just seem to be able to find, like, either through pick and roll or just Joker just rolling to the basket. Jamal just seems to be able to throw it from the pocket from basically anywhere, either looking or not. And Joker just seems to know it's coming and read it perfectly, and bada bing, bada boom, and it looks so gorgeous.
Yeah, they got a great two-man game between them. Like that first game I was watching, and I was like, Joker's got off to not a great start. He was like 1-for-7. You look at halftime, he's already back to 50%. He's back to 7-for-14. You look at the end of the game, he's shooting a field goal percentage of like 70% from 60% from the field. Like he just... I don't know. Even if he starts bad, he finishes good. He just works. He doesn't. I don't know. He when he's playing, he looks so reserved. He doesn't look like he's ever out of a comfort zone. It's not like he's ever stretching for anything. If he doesn't like where he is, he repositions. And he's got a long defender in Ayton, there to put his shots off, but. It just doesn't affect him. And, he's a two-time MVP, and not saying he can't be third time this year, but he looks so good. And I Phoenix have probably the best offensive player in Kevin Durant. You could make the argument for Steph as well, but even with Phoenix high-powered offense with Durant, Booker, and what Booker's done, probably outshining Durant a little bit, that they just didn't look close in either game. I know, like, scoring-wise, it wasn't too horrible, but Denver just, even when they got close, they always seemed to be able to find a bucket. They got pieces chipped in by Aaron Gordon. KCP played well. And the other one's Michael Porter Jr., who's playing well, healthy, given good minutes. So their lineup actually matches up. Well, I was looking like to see which team could knock Denver off, or is going to give Denver the most trouble. Who don't they want to oppose in the finals or conference finals and things like that? And I don't know. There's not too many teams that give them too much grief. I thought Phoenix would probably be one of the major ones, but that just looks. So comfortable playing them. It's been a little bit scary. So I've been really surprised with Denver. I know they're the number one seed. They should be making it look a little bit easier than most teams, but you know, we saw what happened with Milwaukee. You know, it's not always that easy, but Denver seemed to be making it look easy at the moment.
And it's tricky. They haven't gone to Phoenix, which is always, you know, you've got to wait until they've played on the other team's court. But Denver looks so good. You know, they don't seem wildly bothered by Phoenix yet in this series. And I'd like them to be, because I think this, if they could really get into a tussle, I think this could be one hell of a series. But obviously not really so much yet. You know? Two rather solid, you know, obviously the first one was even more solid, but, you know, two really good solid home wins so far. You know, what's it going to be like when we head out to Phoenix? Hopefully closer, but, you know, Denver, at least going into these two games, they've got to be going in with a high amount of confidence, you know, in their players, in their health, and in the way they're playing, and the way that, at the very least, they're matching up against this Phoenix team so far.
Yeah, and if I'm Phoenix and I'm thinking, what's one way we put the brakes on the Joker? I don't know if Ayton's got the tools to do it, but he needs to be more aggressive and try to get him in a bit of foul trouble. From the get go, he needs to be trying to post him up, trying to bang bodies with him, a little bit more physical than he has been, and trying to draw some fouls and get into him, just so they can buy more time with him out on the court. Because when he's not on the court, the plus minus differential is huge, and the backups they have aren't that great. So it just puts more stress on the Denver team, which is what you want to do if you're Phoenix. But you know, at the moment, Joker's untouchable. So yeah, he's just absolutely balling.
He is. All right, let's prediction. Look, I'll let you go first on this one. I went first on the East. You can have at it first on the West.
I'm going Denver in five. I'm going 4-1. And RIP Chris Paul. I'm not sure if you're going again next year, buddy, but you're probably not going to get that chip. Sorry.
Oof. All right. Look, I'm going to take Denver too. Give me Denver in six. I certainly don't think they're going to get swept. I think, you know, they're too much of a high-powered team to do that. But, yeah, Denver's really rolling at the moment. They're playing high-powered, high-quality basketball. So... look, and they've got Rocky behind them. So, you know, it's the greatest mascot in NBA history. So
Agreed. Yep.
Maybe Benny the Bull. But prime Benny. I don't think we've seen since the guy in the costume changed after what it was ages, I don't know. It just feels like there was a real, it's not the same mascot.
Yeah.
But, all right, one series left to talk about before we get to some local card shop of Woolloongabba and Mermaid Beach. Crack 'em. And that is Warriors and Lakers. Basically, Warriors versus LeBron's team, which we haven't seen in a while. It's been a long while. And it's great to see it outside of the finals. In that sense, because we're going to see this one, you know, in the conference semis, which is incredibly early for a Warriors LeBron matchup.
Yeah,
it's going to be, it's potentially going to be spicy. It's also potentially going to be a letdown.
Yeah, I could see it going either way. Yeah, it's going to be a seven game or a sweep. You know, everyone always is partial to certain teams and teams they like. For me, this is just a shit sandwich, and which team's not as sloppy. I'm just not a great big fan of the Lakers or Golden State in terms of like teams, not the players, but like, you know, teams you support over the years. So I'm really impartial. I don't mind who wins this. if I put the decision-making hat on, though, and you say you've got to pick one, which team do you reckon you think will win? I think it'll be Golden State. I think the Lakers, although they're really, really good at setting the tempo, because that's what LeBron's really good at, and AD is, they can sort of pick and if they want to play fast or slow, and that can be quite helpful at trying to put off or slow down or muddle the Golden State offense. I just think their guard rotation and lineup for the Lakers will have a lot of trouble staying in front of Steph, staying in front of Clay, and then Jordan Poole as well. They're really deep in that sense with their guards, and they got D'Angelo Russell, who offensively, you know, he could put up some good numbers, but nowhere near what Steph can do. He's probably more in line with maybe Jordan Poole, a bit more hit and miss, but can have his really good nights. So yeah, I just think the Lakers, unless LeBron and AD can just absolutely carry him to a few victories, which is very, very possible, and they will get a couple of victories, but I think Golden State probably takes it in a 6-2 six-game series.
Six-gamer. Yeah, look. I'm feeling the Warriors a little bit in this one myself. I'll swerve. I'll go the Lakers for nostalgia's sake. I probably think Warriors are probably going to get this one done over LeBron and AD, and you know, some of the other young fellas they've got rolling through. But let's go with the youth, and let's steer into a Austin Reeves or Rui Hachimura, you know, balling out and playing some big games, and maybe even, hey, let's sprinkle in a bit of AD consistency, you know? The thing that, like, he hasn't always had, and, you know, gets a little bit of flack for every now and again. So, look, give me the Lakers in – oh, it'd have to be Lakers in seven. Lakers in seven.
Yeah. Who do you have as your – every team always has when it comes to the finals, their LeBron stopper. Who do you think steps up for this Golden State Warrior team? Because, I mean, you can play Draymond on him, but Draymond's a little bit, you know, he's a little bit older and slower now too. He might be probably a better matchup for AD. Do you put Wiggins on him, who is a little not as strong, but just as long and a bit more athletic? It'll be interesting to see. Who do you reckon takes on the LeBron job?
I think it will very much be potentially game-to-game dependent. I think it'll be more of a supporting cast than a one-person role. And because I think it'll very much depend on what sort of style of the game LeBron chooses to go with. Is he going to be that aggressive driver at certain points and really be trying to get closer to the basket and score the two? Is he going to, you know, stretch out a little bit more and let the younger bloods, you know, do some of that more heavy inside work and step back for some more of those threes or go in? Look, obviously there's going to be at least one spicy matchup at some point between him and Draymond. But probably, I think it's time to let your younger guys through there in that situation. So, and yeah, of course, too, wouldn't be surprised if there's the occasional Clay on him a little bit.
Yeah, they've used that. Know. They've used that before. And Jonathan Kuminga is another option off the bench. He's a bit young and probably not as sound defensively, but I'd love to see them. I don't know if he's injured or not, because I haven't seen him play at all actually this year. But Andre Iguodala is still on the roster, isn't he? I'd love to see.
He is, but he's still in streets, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's a throwback to the Cavs, yep, and Golden State series from, you know, almost 10 years ago now.
Yeah, where he locked him down and LeBron still scored 40 points a game or whatever it was. But he locked him down and then got finals MVP.
Stole a finals MVP.
Oh, finally got you around to it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, look, you know, that would be great. Unfortunately, still in streets. Did travel with the team for the Kings games and things, but yeah, still in some rather pricey street clothes, unfortunately. But yeah, for nostalgia's sake, as you say, it'd be lovely to see. You know, suit him up.
That's it.
But yeah, all right. So that's going to wrap us up here on the NBA side. There's our predictions. There's our thoughts. We'll see how they go. Only time will tell. But it is time to jump into some local card shop of Lord Gabba Crack'em. And I've got another juicy five pack here. I've got 2020-2021 Chronicles. Cheeky little five pack. If you're ready to go, Macca, we'll hit this thing. And yeah, got some, as always, some great little cards here for the local card shop.
Good to go, mate.
Good to go. All right. Just you on O this evening. You on O. We'll we might have to get young Mr. Anthony Kopskis in at some point and really go head to head with you two. If you're not doing anything else next week, we might see if we can put something together, eh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like the sound of that.
We'll see how we go.
You never know when you're ready. You know, you can't. you got to take the opportunities when you can, and maybe I'm ready to hold the belt. I don't know. I don't know till I get in the kitchen. How hot is it? I've got to find out.
Exactly. And how do you put on little boy pants or big boy pants? Same way, one leg at a time. One leg at a time.
That's right.
All right. First card. Here we go for the Toronto Raptors. A rookie card. After scoring in double figures. Sorry, I forgot to just do a quick explanation. I'll read the back of the card. Excuse me. Macca just has to, tell me who's on the front of the card. Obviously, I'll say somebody instead of reading the name. But look, and then if come up a little bit short, I'll try and give some clues where I can. But yeah. Sometimes they're really tricky. Sometimes it's a little bit of a layup. Nice, easy, fast break. So we'll see how we go. Definitely play along at home, see how you go. After scoring in double figures in three straight games to start the month, somebody earned the first start of his career on April 8th, 2021. In that contest, he hit three threes and dished eight dimes against Chicago. The following game, another start, resulted in the rookie's first double-double, 20 points and 11 assists at Cleveland for the Toronto Raptors. Number eight.
Gee, maybe I'm not ready.
Well, I can give you the hint that we have myself and this particular player share the first three letters of our name. First three letters of our first name.
Is, I'm going to, I know one.
Yeah.
There's a, and is it Malachi Flynn?
Malachi Flynn, baby. There it is.
Yes.
We got there. It was a
heavy
clue, but
heavy clue. Still,
you got there. All righty.
Yeah, that's lucky too, because I was looking at Toronto just to see, actually, just randomly looking at their roster about a week ago, because I wanted to know. I was just looking at how old Scotty Barnes was. And I was looking through and I was like, there's a few players on there. I had no idea who they were. So I started just doing some background checks and stuff. And Malachi Flynn was one of them. So there you go.
Famously looking for a new coach and potentially Becky Hammond. We'll have to see. She's got permission, but has also said Aces are my focus. So it's playing the PR game. We'll see how that goes. All right.
A bit harsh on Nick Nurse, wasn't it? But yeah, Nick, I thought he did all right for his stint there.
He got a chip. The last, was it Paul Casey? took them to almost the promised land, coach of the year, and got fired. So
they're brutal. They are brutal.
They are brutal. If you're not exactly what they need you to be, then you're unemployed. But, you know, again, that's the business. All right, card two. Over the past decade, two things have been missing from the Knicks: wins and excitement. Oh, this is my new favorite card.
Brutal.
Somebody can help bring those both back to the Big Apple. The lightning bolt forward plays with a competitive edge and lives above the rim, only coming down after producing highlight reel dunks. So it is a rookie card from New York. Number one.
Oh, we've had him before, haven't we?
We have, mate.
Star Wars one. Obi Toppin.
I'll let you have that one. That is possibly my favorite sentence ever on the back of the card. Over the past decade, two things have been missing from the Knicks: wins and excitement. That is just savage. I love it. All right, three cards left. Here we go. Somebody posted three double-doubles during the 2020-2021 rookie campaign. The two that he recorded at home helped the Warriors claim victory. His first came on January 3 in a 137-122 win versus Portland. The center's other double-double at Chase Center came on April 6th in a 122-121 triumph versus Milwaukee.
So I'm thinking if it's a center for the 2020-2021 season and he was a rookie then, I'm thinking it's James Wiseman.
Number 33, it is indeed James Wiseman.
There you go. No longer there. Is it Detroit? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, moved along. All right, second last card. A dishing dynamo and a disruptive force during a win against OKC, somebody dialed up 7 assists and drummed up 5 steals on April 16, 2021. The guard joined Isaiah Thomas, Lindsey Hunter, and Grant Hill as the fourth rookie in franchise history to produce such a stellar two-way stat line.
So rookie from Detroit.
Rookie from Detroit. It is a card I believe we've had before.
Okay.
Number 7 for the Pistons, Motor City.
Yeah. I always get him and the other guy mixed up. They're out of the guards, but the other one's only a rookie. So I'm pretty sure it's Killian Hayes.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. You're on fire. Speaking of fire, this card is fire. Let's go with this one. Last card, card 5, snapping ankles and snapping nets. Do you want me to stop there or you?
Sorry?
I can stop there. I mean, Ant probably would have already got this. I'm just going to put that out there. But he is the Kraken King. So snapping ankles and snapping nets. Somebody keeps things snappy on the court for Golden State.
Steph Curry.
There you go. That is a nice purple shiny pop the hollow. That is really nice inlay, actually. So another banging little pack there from, of course, our local card shop of Woolloongabba and Mermaid Beach. Thank you to them. Do please jump on their website or go in store if you're around. And they've got the great setup at Mermaid Beach and, of course, at Woolloongabba. And they'll take care of all your card details. If you do have any questions, do go on in. They'll be able to source practically anything from the card world. They're absolutely fantastic at what they do. And they help us out here at Ball Don't Lie tremendously. Mate, look, apart from the MAL sort of style clue for Malachi Flynn, you got the rest. A little bit of a heavy-handed clue, but still, you got there on your own and you got the other four. So nice.
On the board. Yeah, look, I've got to work on the speed. I'll give the Crack'em King that. He's quick with it. But I just like to hear the whole spiel. I like to
hear the whole storyline and what's on there. I don't like to jump in too early, but I've got to work on my speed if I'm gonna match Ant.
Well, look, you get your training in, and we'll see how we go. Because next week I'll be off on holidays, so we'll have we might put together a bit of a Crack'em special event, hey? And we'll see how we go. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. All right. So that's going to wrap up our NBA show right there. That's 122. One Jimmy Butler, 122 in the books. So, you know, thanks again for coming on, Macca. Always appreciate it.
Not a problem, mate. Thanks for having me again.
Not a drama. Please do jump on the socials. You know, we're doing more and more stuff on and in that space. If you do listen to a streaming service that allows 5-star reviews, please go do that. You know, give us a follow. All those things, all that stuff really does help a lot. Until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.